Yes, good morning, Your Honors. My name is David Clisham. I am the attorney for appellant Mary Ganley, and I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The key issue before you is whether Mary Ganley received due process in connection with her dismissal from the San Mateo County's Sheriff's Office for reasons of disability and subsequent loss of accrued benefits. The district court's decision contains three errors. One, that two brief unannounced meetings with non-decision makers constituted adequate pre-deprivation of due process for loss of permanent employment. Number two, that receipt of payroll stubs constituted adequate pre-deprivation due process for loss of vested benefits. And number three, that the county presented relevant facts to raise a triable issue of fact on the waiver issue on an appeal. In regard to number one, loss of employment, the two brief unannounced meetings took place on June 6, 2005 and June 21, 2005, one with the Americans for Disability coordinator, the other with Lieutenant O'Brien, who told her to go home. The ADA coordinator explained that her industrial injuries prevented her from performing the essential functions of the position of Sheriff's Correctional Officer and that she could not be accommodated. She was not removed from her light duty assignment, however, and thereafter received an official letter from the ADA coordinator informing her that she had a right to reasonable accommodation to continue in her position.
To continue in her position or to continue with the government, with the city?
To continue in the assignment. I think it was both.
I thought it was the latter because this accommodation of temporary duty was just to help her out as she went along. But two doctors, hers and another, said she couldn't do the work of her designation. So I assume the accommodation was to some other department or something.
No, the letter specifically says that you have the right to request a reasonable accommodation to perform your job. That's what it says. It did not imply that she could work in some other position in the county.
What do we do with that? The evidence is very clear that she couldn't do her job. She couldn't do takedowns. Her own doctor said that, which is required for a position. What are we to do with that? How do you accommodate when she physically can't do the job of her assignment?
Well, first of all, the sheriff's office does have light duty, and the ground for dismissal or suspension is clearly set forth in the county's own rules in Article 13 of the Civil Service Rules, which says you can be dismissed or suspended for incapacity to perform the duties of the position. Mm-hmm. And that rule itself requires, and when that happens, you're supposed to give the employee 5 days' notice and enough information to respond. And the county did not comply with its own rule in that regard. In other words, there's a process. Once the county makes up its mind that the person can't do the job, which they had in this case already, then, months before, for example, because they had concluded that, they put her on light duty, and she was performing satisfactorily on light duty. And so there was no reason not to continue her in that status during the dismissal process.
Oh, I see. You're just talking about during the dismissal process, not permanently.
Well, the local rules say that when you can't do the job, you can be dismissed.
Yeah.
But you got to follow the procedure, and this case really is due process. They didn't follow their own procedures, nor did they follow the procedures required by the Supreme Court when somebody's losing their job for any reason. Mm-hmm. And it's not an onerous procedure. You give the person 5 days' notice under the local rules. It could be longer under due process, and an opportunity to respond prior to the decision to take you off the job. And they just didn't do that because they didn't think they had to, because they said it was not discipline. But they didn't regard it as removing somebody from the job. They just said, well, we can just tell you to go home. And that's unconstitutional. You can't just send somebody home and take them off the payroll without some minimal due process before and appeal after. And they denied both of those. And there's no question that the district court found that she had a property interest in her job, and secondly, and independently of that, in the accrued benefits, the vacation and the accrued sick leave, which is changed into for every 8 hours of sick leave, you can use it for disability, for retiree medical insurance, so that it's an encouragement for employees not to use their sick leave because they can save it up, and then when they retire, they can use that for retiree medical insurance. And in this case, that was wiped out because they took her off the regular payroll and started burning up these vested benefits. And the district court said clearly that was a deprivation of her property. And so that in itself required due process, primarily because the removal from the job, she was not afforded due process. So there's really two distinct property interests here, and the district court felt that notice on the payroll stubs that she was receiving was adequate due process, and it isn't. It isn't. The court in
Clisham, right?
Yes.
Clisham,
yes.
Thank you. Just what information did the payroll stubs purport to give to Mrs. Gann or Mary Ganley?
Well, when you get a check, if you're being paid out of your sick leave, it's indicated on the check that that's the source of the income. So there was some notice that these accounts were being used.
She was not getting her regular pay anymore.
That's right.
Is that it?
That's right.
Okay, she was sent home.
Sent home.
And then the next check she got after she was sent home, it indicated it was sick leave.
Yes.
Not regular pay.
That's right.
And when she was sent home, I think that was on the 21st.
Yes.
She was told that she could not perform the job anymore, or what was she told?
On the 21st, Lieutenant O'Brien said that you're to go home. That's about what she was told. And Lieutenant O'Brien confirmed that in her deposition. She didn't really tell her very much. I mean, Mary essentially knew she was being sent home because of the disability.
Let's go back to then June the 6th. What was she told at that time?
On June 6th, she was told that she could no longer do the regular job because of her disability.
So she went home on the 21st. She knew the county was taking the position that she could no longer do the job.
That's right.
She was being asked to go home, told to go home, and then she received a check, but she's no longer getting her regular pay.
Yes.
And so at that time, it seems to me that what you're arguing is that was not sufficient notice that her job was being terminated. Maybe it had not been terminated at that point, I don't know. But this was not sufficient to satisfy the notice requirement for due process. That's your argument, I think, isn't it?
That's my argument. That's our contention, yes.
Now, if that was sufficient notice, then she would have had an opportunity to say, well, give me a chance to perform something else, or she would have had an opportunity to respond. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, did she ever do that? Did she ever respond and say, well, wait a minute, don't do this to me. I can perform this job. Those doctor's reports aren't...
No, I think, Your Honor, to be very direct, she didn't do that, but due process requires that they do it, that they tell her beforehand, we are thinking of doing this. That's the notice, and you have and here's our evidence. And then the next step is to give you an opportunity to come in to respond at that point. At that point, if that had happened, she would have said, I want to stay on light duty. I'm performing the job, and you know I'm performing the job. There's no complaints. I have good evaluations. I want to stay on light duty. So then the issue at that point, can she stay on the regular payroll until they retire her? That's the issue. None of that happened. They made their mind up and just told her that she was being terminated. They didn't give her an opportunity to debate staying on the regular payroll, nor did they give her an opportunity to say, hey, look, I don't want to have my vacation burnt up. I need that money. I need the sick leave in order to get retiree medical benefit. I know I'm going to get retired, but...
Let's separate the two issues, if you don't mind. Let's assume that the first issue on termination is off the boards, just because I want to focus on the second one. So if the notice is inadequate as to the deprivation of the benefits, what's the remedy at this point?
The remedy at this point is to remand it to the district court and reverse this, and the remedy is to give her back pay. I mean, under the state case, it's back pay, and under Section 1983, she's entitled to whatever damages she can prove for emotional
distress. Well, and I'm just talking about the benefits now, not the back pay for the time she lost. Are those damages, in your estimation, or can those damages be segregated or not?
Well,
I mean, if you just filed a suit on the inadequacy of the notice of the pay stub, and that she, if we're focused in on that issue, is there a different remedy that you want or not?
I think it's the same kind of remedy under Barber versus State Personnel Board. The remedy for a due process violation is that you're to be paid back pay until you get the hearing. And she's never had a hearing. She's never had a pre-termination hearing, nor has she had a post-termination appeal. No hearing whatsoever. So until she gets a hearing, she's back on the payroll.
Okay. Well, our questions have taken you over your time. Any further questions from the panel? Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And because our questions took you over, I'll give you a little bit of time for rebuttal. Go ahead. Hear from the county?
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I am Carol Woodward with the County Council representing the County of San Mateo. Your Honor, this, as the Court knows, this is a procedural due process case, and as the Court knows, there is a property interest in continued employment in a public entity, such as Ms. Ganley had. The question before the Court today is whether Ms. Ganley had the opportunity to protest being put on to the sick leave and vacation aspect as opposed to...
Ms. Woodward, yes. First of all, the county had some obligation to provide her with notice, I think, that she was being terminated and that she had an opportunity for a hearing or to respond in some way if she wished. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor, absolutely right.
Right. Now, the county apparently told her she was terminated, that... or she was going home, and the pay stub said she wasn't getting any more money. So she probably did that. Did they give her any notice that she would be entitled to any kind of a hearing or was entitled to respond in some way to this?
Your Honor, this is not a question of the county turning to Ms. Ganley, who, as the Court knows, was the union president for a couple of years and also was on the executive council and was a 24-year employee. Our position is that the county did not have a duty to tell Ms. Ganley.
I think the narrow question was, did the county do it? I think there may be some follow-ups, but
yes.
Did the county provide any notice?
The county did not say to her on the 21st of June, you have a right to appeal. That's correct. They did
How about
not say
on
that.
June the 6th?
On June 6th, the county did say you have an ADA right to accommodation. If you don't feel that you, well, we say you cannot do your job because your doctors say that. And by the way, there was no protest against the doctors starting in January and February of that year. Ms. Ganley knew the purpose of those exams. So come June 6th, she had a meeting with the ADA coordinator and with the workers' comp coordinator, and with, I think, one or two other folks, who said, here are your options. One option is ADA accommodation. She did not ask for that. One is workers' comp vocational rehabilitation. She did not ask for that. And then, starting June 6th and continuing on through November or December, she was in constant contact with the county folk, including the ADA coordinator.
Constant contact with who?
With the ADA coordinator who, as I recall, was saying, can we help you with this? The vocational rehab person who said, can we retrain you? Can we find you a different job in the county? And so forth. It was apparent, or it seemed to the county people, as if Ms. Ganley had made an election to continue to receive full pay using her sick and her vacation pay, because she also was receiving, she was continuing to accrue benefits from the county and to have contributions from the county to her retirement, which, by the way, increased her retirement when she did apply for it in August. So it's the record suggests, and I believe it's correct, and I think a reasonable jury would have to find, that that was an election on her part and that she did it purposefully. And I don't, and you're right, it was not a perfect meeting on June 21st. We'll concede that. It may have been, as the district court said, as Judge Henderson said, it would have been a good idea on the 21st for Ms. O'Brien, Lieutenant O'Brien, to say, here are your appeals. You have a grievance because you're complaining about the way we're interpreting the MOU. Okay, you have the ADA option, you have the vocational rehabilitation option, you even have an EEO option if you think you've been discriminated against according to your disability. But really importantly, there's never been any objection on her part to the fact that she was disabled and she couldn't do her job. She knew that.
The second issue in the case is the accrued sick leave issue.
The
accrued sick leave and loss of that. I find it really hard to... I mean, my problem with your case on this is it's hard for me to say that a pay stub is equivalent to notice, and notice that she was going to lose these benefits. It's, the meeting, I think you have an arguable point, and of course they've responded, but it's really hard for me to see how the pay stub is adequate notice.
Well,
I mean, I you know, usually you'd say, here's what's happening to you, and you have a right to talk to us, but sending a pay stub, right, taking it away, is a deprivation, and I don't see how she got a post-deprivation hearing or even pre-deprivation.
Well, Your Honor, the response that Ms. Ganley has to our argument that the pay stub was notice, that she was being paid out of her sick leave and her vacation, okay, and that she was not receiving $48.50, which is the one-year workers' comp aspect. Her response to that is, well, I expected to receive $48.50 pay because others had received it. Okay, and with an incomplete declaration as to the similar circumstances, we say they weren't, and because, well, I expected it. And as Judge Henderson very thoroughly pointed out, the expectation by itself is not something that's supported by the record. She had no workers' comp case pending, which would give her the $48.50, which would restore that sick leave. Let me back up for a minute. The sick leave and the vacation coming out of her, being used to pay her, and we are saying that the notice was received with the pay stub. Her response to that is, well, I expected that that would be restored, therefore it was not alarming to me, and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't appeal. I didn't do any of those other things. Our response is that's just not reasonable. There's nothing in the record, and there's nothing before the court that would suggest that that was a reasonable expectation. There was no workers' comp case.
Why does it really matter in the context of notice?
Because
I mean, she's saying subjectively, I had a different expectation.
Right.
But the question is, did you give her sufficient notice that would have put her, alerted her to the fact that she was going to lose these accrued benefits?
Well,
and the pay stub doesn't say, you are losing your accrued benefits. It said, you're getting sick leave right now. And she thinks, I'm going to get that restored.
Right.
Erroneously.
Right.
But the question is adequacy of notice, and then whether or not she had a chance to really argue the case in a post-deprivation context.
But each pay stub said, you used to have 325 hours of sick pay, now you have 300 hours, you know, or whatever the number was. And the next paycheck said, now you have 230 hours, and so forth. So our position is that was adequate notice, and the other part of it is that she did know about her myriad rights to appeal. We had at least three forums in which she could appeal. So I do believe that that would constitute adequate notice. And
well, suppose we hold that it doesn't. Where does that leave you on that issue?
If you hold that she did not have notice?
Notice of as to the accrued deprivation of the accrued sick leave.
Well, we also have, well, there is the application for retirement where she says, I'm on paid leave. And just common sense has to kick in here to say, wait a minute, I'm not working, so my pay has to come from somewhere.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem I have. We're in summary judgment, and we draw your argument makes perfect sense, except that at this stage we draw the inferences all the other way. So if we're in the area where we have to draw inferences from what she said, what the pay stub may have said, then we draw them in favor of the plaintiff.
Right.
So, I mean, that's I'm just telling you what my hesitation is on this case so you can address it.
Right. And the only response I have to that is that when confronted with the paycheck argument, that is, the paycheck constitutes notice, her only response is, well, I expected different. She didn't say I didn't know that. She simply said, well, yeah, I saw the sick leave and the vacation depleting, but, oh, well, I thought it would be restored. And there's just no basis for that. There's no workers' comp claim pending. She knows that in order to get 4850 restoration, it would have to be approved, and she'd already been denied at least once in her 15 workers' comp claims. She'd been denied, and so forth. So that is not reasonable.
So let me ask you the same question I asked your opponent. If we were to hold that there was a due process deprivation as to that issue alone, what is the remedy at this point?
If she says
back pay.
I don't believe it would be because yeah. There's not a back pay issue.
It would
here.
Be a restoration of the accrued
restoration
sick
of benefits is what I would see, yeah. But I think it would
and how much
to go,
is that? Do you know,
Mr. Clisham knows that number.
All right. Well, you can tell us under rebuttal.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. Any further questions? Thank you for your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. We'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal.
Yes, thank you. I think that the county tries to place the burden on the employee, and I think there's I think the cases are clear that the employee has to be given under due process a notice of an intended action and an opportunity to respond, you know, before the deprivation, and under the county's rules. That's only a 5-day notice. That is not a burden on the county to do that. And secondly, the county has to inform her that she has to have an appeal hearing. And if she didn't request an appeal hearing, I mean, that's not a horse on her. That's a horse on the county. Because the failure to demand a hearing does not constitute waiver.
Mr. Clisham, have you spoken with our settlement people we have here in the court? Or mediation unit at all? It seems to me that what you've got here is a couple of sides and you're arguing about some money and there ought to be some reasonable basis for you to settle your case. Have you tried that with our mediation people here?
I totally agree with you, Your Honor. The county has rejected any of those forms of remedy. That's why we're here.
So how much do we have at stake on the accrued sick leave alone?
It's about 7 months, 7 or 8 months.
And so that would be approximately what?
Oh, pardon me, Your Honor?
It's about 7 months of sick pay.
And the vacation pay was vested. That should have been paid out in cash once she was removed from the payroll.
Okay, so that's not an issue?
No.
Yeah, okay. Any further questions? I think we have your case in hand. I think thank you both for your arguments.
Okay, thank you.
And that case will be submitted for decision.